Today's passage reading is John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables, and he made a scourge of cords, and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, "Take these things away. Stop making my father's house a place of business." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 9,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, including the United States, Canada, Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Brazil, Bolivia, Uruguay, Argentina, Chile, Japan, Mongolia, China, Taiwan, Thailand, Vietnam, Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, Nepal, India, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Israel, Palestine, Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Tanzania, DR Congo, Gabon, Angola, Botswana, Swaziland, South Africa, Burkina Faso, Liberia, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, Nigeria, the United Kingdom, Ireland, France, Belgium, Holland, Germany, Italy, Greece, Russia, Sweden, Estonia, Belarus, Ukraine, Dagestan, and local sanctuary members, those who are attending their service on the internet all over the world, GCN viewers, and Mamin TV viewing audiences. The title of today's message is Consider the Temple Holy. The temple is where God makes His presence. Psalm 11:4 says, "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men." As written, the Lord's throne is in heaven. God does not actually live in the temple that is built by the hands of men. But when we dedicate the temple to God, God acknowledges it as a place that belongs to Him. He puts His glory and name in the temple, and when people come to the temple, God accepts it as though they were coming before Him. Thus, if we respect the holy God, we have to respect the temple and consider it holy as well. If we love God, we would love the temple and take delight in being in it. On the other hand, to defile or disregard the temple is to act with disrespect before God. So what does God say about selling and buying in the temple? God says you made it a place of business. We have seen people who have fallen into hardships because they create walls of sin between God and them by acting rudely before God. Of course, most of you love God and consider the sanctuary of God to be treasured. You wouldn't just disregard trash on the floor of the sanctuary when you see it. Also, some of you take delight in cleaning the sanctuary whenever you have free time, especially those who clean the bathrooms. They do it with so much happiness. On the other hand, there are also others who are creating walls of sin against God by acting with disrespect in and toward the sanctuary. God was so angry about defiling the temple of God. He let a prophet see those who are defiling His temple. This is not just dropping trash in the sanctuary or damaging church property. They defile the sanctuary in various ways. They say things that should not be spoken, and they behave in ways they must not behave. As I already said, the temple is where God puts His name and where His eyes are always focused. Therefore, what we think, say, and do in the sanctuary must always be in holiness. Here, when we talk about the sanctuary, it is not only the place of worship, but it is the yard, parking lot, bathrooms, dining halls, practice rooms, offices, and storage rooms. It is everything on the church compound. You believers spend a lot of time in the church. You have not only worship and prayer, but also consultations, fellowship, voluntary works, eating, and other activities. As you spend a lot of time in the church, your senses about the holiness of the church may become less sensitive. You may begin to speak and act just as you are in other public places. So if you are not always cautious and consciously aware, you may express yourself with inappropriate words and actions. So there shouldn't be any quarreling in the church. There shouldn't be any getting angry in the church. In particular, pastors and Levites spend most of their time in the church, and they should be even more careful. Initially, you learn about the things that we must not do in the church, and you are carefully observant. But as time goes, you may change your attitudes. Also today, business transactions are very different from before, and as time passes and the church has grown bigger, there are many things that previously didn't exist. So when you are confused as to whether or not you can do something or not, you may just take the way that is most convenient. You just think, all others are doing it, so I guess it's okay. Or, it may not be completely right, but this much must be okay. If you say all others are doing, if they are defiling the temple of God, you should be rebuking them harshly. If pastors are defiling the temple of God, and when a church member sees it, the member should rebuke the pastor. How can a pastor who teaches the flock defile the temple of God? Even a member, church ordinary layman member, should be able to rebuke that pastor. But we shouldn't just remain ignorant in these matters. Even if we didn't know it was sin, out of ignorance, we cannot say we are innocent. And if we sin knowing it, our rebuke will be greater. The magnitude of sin ought to be different according to each one's heart, but you might give Satan a chance to accuse you. I urge you to keep in mind once again the holiness and preciousness of the sanctuary through this message. In doing so, we must not have any lack of respect before God in any way. Also, as time continues to go by, and as the church becomes even bigger, there will be more and more varied cases. Thus, when you listen to this message, understand the standards correctly and remember them so that you can teach those who will come later too. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will be confident and have nothing before God by which you can be rebuked. Also, by defiling the temple of God, you create walls of sin and you cause many tests and trials, and this shouldn't happen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in today's passage, we can see Jesus rebuked the money exchangers and those who are selling animals for sacrifices. The temple is a place to give God sacrifices. So why did they sell animals or exchange money? On the outside, this was to provide the people with convenience when they gave sacrifices to God. There were many people who came from far off, and it wasn't easy for them to bring their own animals with them. Even if they did, they couldn't give the animals to God if they had any defect. So it was easier for them to come to Jerusalem, buy a defect-free animal, and give it to God. Also, they couldn't pay their temple tax with ordinary money. They had to exchange it for the money used in the Holy Temple. That is why money exchange was necessary. However, it was not just the exchange, but they were also charged an exchange fee. So in the city of Jerusalem, there was a market for animals for sacrifice and the money exchanging. But the problem is that such exchanges were taking place in the temple at the time of Jesus. Those who sold animals and exchanged money in the temple made enormous profits. It was not to provide the people with convenience, but for the gratification of greed. Of course, the exchanges took place not in the holy place or the holy of holies, but in the temple yard. But it also belonged to the temple. The yard of the temple, where people worshipped God, became a marketplace for greedy people. When you go on a pilgrimage, when you see the temple yard, you can see it is very large. Maybe it can hold more than 1 million people. Jesus was very angry with this scene. He made a whip of cord and drove out the herds and flocks from the temple. He overturned the tables of the money exchangers and told the sellers of doves to take them out of the temple. He commanded them not to make the house of the Father a marketplace. For the house of my Father should be called a house of prayer. It is a place to worship God, praise Him, and pray to Him. Mark 11:17 says, "Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations? But you have made it a robber's den." Those who are selling and buying, they were making the temple a robber's den, a business place, marketplace. So God had to be so angry at this scene. It was such a great wall of sin against God. And we experienced so many trials because of these things, but we didn't know. Jesus is such a gentle person. He never quarreled with anybody or spoke out. He had mercy on those who were like bruised reeds and smoldering wicks, and He endured with them until they changed. Even when He was crucified, He prayed for those who were crucifying Him. Nevertheless, when He saw the temple of God being defiled, He didn't just keep quiet. Because I know these things, when I heard there was such a thing happened in this church, I couldn't bear with it. Those who love God cannot just stay calm when God is profaned. What is true gentleness? What is truly goodness? If somebody hits you and curses you, it is goodness to bear with him with gentleness. But if somebody hits your parents and curses them, would you just keep quiet? Is that goodness? Being quiet would be neither goodness nor bearing with gentleness. And if there is anything that is irreverent before our Father God the Creator, we cannot just keep quiet. As you read about Jesus being angry, I hope you will realize what kind of attitude you must have about the temple of God. Of course, today we don't sell animals or exchange money in the church. But there are surprisingly many things that are done to defile the sanctuary. Let me give you specific examples. Above all, as in today's passage too, we must not sell or buy in the church. Although they were selling the animals for sacrifices, Jesus did not accept the people selling for personal profit. Therefore, there must be no personal business transactions in the church. Even when you buy something for the use of your mission groups or parish, you must not buy them in the church. It becomes a business. Business in the holy temple. And it is to make the temple of God robber's den. You cannot purchase something on the internet and receive the commodity in the church. Whatever is needed in the church is purchased by the General Affairs Department, except when officially approved. You must not buy anything personally. To use something for your office, you cannot just buy them personally. Before you come to the church, you can do it at home. You can make those transactions at home. You cannot do it in the church only because you don't have time. If you buy necessary things personally or in your department, you can pay for them outside the church and receive the good outside. Not even the reception, but you have to do it on the outside. Of course, not on the Sabbath, not on Sunday, on other days. If you, or sometimes those who are working inside the church, order some food from outside. In this case, you must not pay the money and receive the food inside the church. You have to do that outside. But as an exception, I explained to you about the church bookstore and the church canteen. They don't sell the worldly things in the church bookstore. They sell their sermon, cassette tapes, Christian books, and the Bible, which give spiritual life. They sell the things that revive the life. The reason why we have a canteen in the church is to help those who have weak faith so that they will not buy or sell outside the church on Sunday or when a children ask for some ice cream or soft drinks or things like that when they cry. This is for that kind of purpose. Also, the profit of the bookstore and canteen is exclusively given to God as an offering. So it is spent for charitable works or for the scholarships of the students. So we spend them for the good purpose. So this is not actually a business transaction. It's not for any individual's profit. We have strict restrictions on business transactions, even for purchasing what is needed for the church. And I should not have to mention buying things for personal use. It's not only about goods, but also for services. For example, we can talk about cutting and styling. Some people who are working for church events, who sing special praises, who are functioning as ushers and offertory attendants, or those who serve overseas guests, they may get the cutting and styling of their hair in the church. This is for the service itself and for the glory of God, so it is okay for the voluntary hairdresser to do the job in the church. This is not for their hairdresser's profit. They just do it as a voluntary work for the kingdom of God. And also those who are getting this service, they do it for the glory of God. It's better that they do it on Saturday, but even probably in cases where they didn't have time or where they can't do it beforehand, if they have untidy appearances when giving glory to God, it's not good. So it's the same with the presider and those who sing praises. So that kind of work is okay. But any kind of, because that is not, those hairdressers have to do it for as a voluntary work. But those who receive the service, if they are so thankful, they may want to express their thanks. As a token of thanks, they may express their thanks outside the church. with money. In this case, if you feel it necessary to pay the hairdresser, you can pay as a token of thanks. But you must not give or receive the money in the church for that. You can give it the next day outside the church. But if it is for personal benefit and not for the kingdom of God, you must not do it in the church. At the time of Jesus, when they were selling animals and doves in the temple, if, had they bought them in the outside the temple, Jesus wouldn't have rebuked them. But he was so angry because they were doing it in the church, in the temple. So there is nothing difficult. Same with branch churches. For example, suppose an overseas missionary has to do something during the worship service, and she didn't have time to do the hair. She just arrived, and she didn't have time, and she must preside over the service or pray for the service or something. In this case, it is okay if a voluntary hairdresser does the hair in the church. The preacher shouldn't be untidy on the outside, just arriving from another country. But when it's not for the worship service, but for personal reason, for example, if that missionary has to depart tomorrow and it's inconvenient to go outside to do her hair, she cannot do it in the church. So can you distinguish between what is okay and not in the sight of God? You have to be able to do that. Recently, many people repented that they got a haircut in the church. Of course, not in this sanctuary, but in the old sanctuary. They said it cost much less than outside. And outside, in the world, as low as 7,000 won or even 10,000 won, 15,000 won or higher. But in the church, he got only 1,000 or 2,000 won, so they were doing it. They said it cost much less than outside, and they didn't know it was wrong. Many times a year, I explain about this scene. So do you have to sell animals? Do you have to sell doves in the temple, in the church? Now, how can you say you didn't know? Every kind of exchange is the same. Even just 1,000 won or 10,000 won, business exchanges exchange. But you have to know clearly, the church is a holy place that is set apart for worshiping God. It's a place where we shouldn't... So God always has His eye on the church. It's a place where we shouldn't act with any kind of evil, but we have to always be holy and godly. We can never use the space of the church for personal reasons. In Nehemiah chapter 13, a priest gave a chamber of the temple to a Gentile called Tobiah, who was a close friend to this priest. This chamber was a kind of storehouse, and Tobiah put his personal belongings and used the place for personal benefit. Nehemiah, when he came to know about it later, threw out all belongings of Tobiah and purified the chamber. Nehemiah knew very well that such a thing could not be accepted. Not only the sanctuary for worship, but all places in the church are used for their own purposes before God. If we use the space for personal convenience at our discretion, it means we don't consider the temple holy, and we make what belongs to God ours. After all, it is to despise God, and therefore we must not do anything irreverent like this. Even if we give haircuts for purpose of evangelism, it is not right to do it in the church. Suppose we have some event for elderly citizens, or for North Korean defects? We have a mission group for them. Sometimes such a thing happened to help those who were in need. So they gave haircuts in the church. Even though it's not for profit, you cannot do such a thing in the holy temple of God. As I explained, if you do haircuts for the glory of God, it can be acceptable. But for personal benefit, you can not do it. And if you had a separate place within the church for haircuts and exchanged money for that, how embarrassing this is. Those who are doing it, he received money. He did it to earn money for the last 12 years, 13 years. And those who are paying to save money, to earn money, because it's cheap. To save money, they did it. But if you just remember the most important standard, you can apply it to many kinds of situations as to whether or not it is okay to do it in the church. Namely, it is the question of whether the particular work is for God's glory and His kingdom or for personal reasons or benefit. Today, many churches do many kinds of things in the church, saying they are for purposes of evangelism and the benefit of the church members. They show movies to unbelievers and offer the church space for their personal socializing. A particular church for reserve soldiers training, saying that they're doing something good for the society. They gave their sanctuary for their classes for reserve force. Why do they have to do that in the church? It's not even for evangelism. But even if the purpose is local outreach, a church is a place of worship, and it can never be a place for social gathering. Some churches even have bazaars, but we have never allowed such a thing in this church. At the time of the, right after the beginning of the church, the first women's mission leader, she wanted to have a bazaar with the prophet. They could help the poor and other things, and I prohibited. Then she said, other churches are doing it too. If other churches defile the temple of God and fall into the way of death, do we have to follow it too? Of course not. So I sternly prohibited it. And even after that, those who didn't know very well, some women's mission members, they in autumn, maybe some, because they would bring some pickles and sell them to the church members so we can use the profit for the kingdom of God. And I never allowed such a thing. Money exchange, business, commercial exchange in the church must not be allowed. A church is not a place for the church members to buy good things at a cheap price. It is a place to share the bread of life. Also, our purpose is not to gather for the convenience of people, but to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So when you have fellowship among the brothers and sisters, you have to talk about faith, plant faith in them, to fill them with the Holy Spirit so we can go into heavenly kingdom. We praise God. We pray to Him. We worship Him. This is what church is for. In fact, it is better that there are no business transactions among the church members at all. We cannot prohibit each member of the church when they buy or sell some things among themselves outside the church. But there is no reason for the church to be a mediator. Also, when you buy or sell something personally, you must not exchange anything in the church. For example, suppose your parents in countryside sent you some rice, and it has good quality as well as great quantity. So you wanted to sell some of it at a very cheap price to your small group members. The intention is not to make a profit through commercial merchandising. It is good for the others and good for you too. And something like this can happen anytime. In this kind of a case, though it is dealing among the church members, if you do it outside the church, God will not hold you accountable. So do it outside the church. Also, this kind of conversation must be done outside the church. In the church, oh, I got this rice and I want to sell it at this price, so if you want to buy it, you cannot have such a conversation in the church. Conversation of business conversation. Not only actual transaction, but also such a conversation must not be done in the church because it is contract. You already made the contract by oral contract. So in the church, such a thing must not be done. You can meet outside the church and have such a conversation. It's your free will. Women's mission members, do you understand? You shouldn't be confused. Please do not ask in this case, in that case. So please, there's nothing difficult about it. So please, do not say later you didn't know it. Or suppose you got a tailor-made hanbok from a church member's shop and want to get it in the church. Maybe in the Wednesday service or Friday Ola service, because you'll find it too inconvenient to go all the way to the shop. In this case, you must not make an exchange for it in the church. You have to go outside the church to pay the money and get the dress. So not even at the reception. You have to go outside the church. When you have such a commercial exchange, you must remember two things. First is, not only the actual exchange, but also even the conversation about exchanging something must not be done in the church. For example, such conversations as, I have this good product I can give you at this price, and let's meet at another time outside the church, must not be done in the church. Even though it's not actual business transaction, it's like having a contract beforehand, before you actually make the transaction. Secondly, even if you exchange something outside the church, you can never exchange any goods or money on Sundays. Oh, only because it's outside the church, you cannot have business transaction on Sunday. Because on the Sabbath, you cannot have any business. So it is a sin to do business on the Sabbath. So even outside the church, you cannot do it. So you understand everything up to this point, right? So this is so easy. And why do you say you didn't know? It is a rule that you do not have any business transaction on Sundays, whether in the church or out of the church. Also, if you allow any business talks or commercial conversations on Sundays, there will be people who come to church to do business. That is why I always ask you not to have any kind of commercial exchange or money transactions among the church members, not only on Sundays, but also on other days as well. In the book of Nehemiah, we can read that Nehemiah prohibited the Gentile merchants from sleeping outside the city gate on the Sabbath. To keep the Sabbath holy, Nehemiah didn't allow even the merchants even sleeping outside the city gate on the Sabbath. Those merchants would sleep there, and when the Sabbath was over, they would come into the city to do their business. But Nehemiah didn't allow that. To keep the Sabbath holy, perfectly holy. Nehemiah didn't even allow that. So Nehemiah was so confident before God. So he listened to what he prayed. He confidently prayed, I did this, I kept the whole Sabbath, and God was pleased with him. So there is the whole book about him in the Bible. And our church has been doing until now to have no blame, no spot before God. We have been trying to stand before God blameless and spotless. And without my knowledge, there was such an unrighteousness going on in the church, and how could I not be shocked? Since the opening of the church, I wanted to offer this church as a holy church where God has His eyes on, where He watches all our services, all our praises, and without my knowledge, and there were many unrighteous things going on, and I couldn't help but be shocked so much. He didn't want to have any possibility for them to violate the Sabbath. Brothers and sisters, most of you know that you cannot conduct personal business transactions in the church. But think about the following case. Suppose you are doing a lot of work in the church, and sometimes the church work and your personal works are interrelated. So, you may neglect your personal commercial exchanges made in the church. For example, when the church buys a certain good at a large volume, the price can be lowered. Here, you ask the person in charge to just add one more unit for you so you can get it at a cheaper price. What you asked is personal purchase, so you must not receive the good or pay the money in the church. Let me give you another example. Suppose you made kimchi for a relief work, and there were a lot of the materials that were left over. So, to save the money of the church, the members bought the remaining things, and the money was returned to the church. Or, one person may buy everything and they distribute them again. In this case, when they first made the purchase, it was for the church, but later, it became personal purchase. Thus, you must not exchange the materials or the money in the church. Other than the examples I gave you, there are things that must not be done in the church. Before, somebody suggested that we put a ping-pong table or some simple exercise equipment for the workers and the church members. Now, if you remember the purpose of a church building, I think you have the answer. It's not a bad thing to exercise during your free time, but it must not be done in the church. And also, it is not right to play video games or other games like baduk or chess. In the early 90s, in the old sanctuary, some people were playing chess. And when I heard it, I made them get rid of it. And the worldly entertainment came into the church. Soon after the beginning of opening of the church in the 80s, after we moved the church once, on the Christmas day, on the Christmas Eve, young people gathered and did this Korean traditional game called Yunnori, and I prohibited such a thing. So they cannot discern between their home and the church. Even in my residence, when we are building it, some people said we can put some ping pong table for some exercise, and I said no. It is also a place for church members meeting, so they shouldn't be doing exercises in that space. These days, you can play such games easily on cell phones or computers. And obviously, these things are not right in the church. So especially students, during the worship service or in the churchyard, or many of you just turn on the cell phones and you have personal conversations and also you talk, you have business talks in the churchyard on your cell phones. The students, you have to worship in spirit and truth, and you turn on the cell phones and you send text messages. And some students even play games. It means they don't have any faith. They just have to come to church because of their parents. They are playing games with the cell phones in the church. But I know it's getting much better. I believe there's none of the students who are doing it. In the second floor, if you are doing it, it cannot be accepted. Thank you. Second sanctuary is not acceptable. Third sanctuary, it's not acceptable. Fourth sanctuary, fifth sanctuary, sixth sanctuary, 6th sanctuary. Second nursery room. First nursery room. Must not be done. You attend worship service with your children, so for your children, such a thing must not take place in the church. And such a thing will create a wall of sin. Among other places in the church, you have to be very careful in sanctuaries about your behavior. It is not right to bring in any food or beverage into the sanctuary. You have to worship God. And if you eat something or drink something, it's not right. But there is a case where it's okay. Suppose a little babies, they like it, they like something so much so they are not sleeping in the during the worship service. And if they cry, to make them stop crying, you may prepare something and give to them. Because children are children. They don't know anything. It's better than that they're crying. And also those who are sick. If they have to drink water often, if they have to drink some drinks often, then maybe it's okay. I mean, it's okay that they drink something, but God will not say it is wrong. So you have to understand, with the heart of God Himself, with the goodness, then you can distinguish between different cases. Let me just go over some of other points too. When you come to the church, you make your appearances as neat as possible because you are coming before God. And in many places, many countries, those who visited our church, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, I received many letters. When they watch this worship service, it is so impressive, it's touching and inspirational. They have neat appearances in suit and tie, and they cannot find such a thing in other places. But in this moment church, we worship God in this way. in other churches, many people doze off, and in Mami church, nobody is dozing off. They have very clear eyes, bright eyes, twinkling eyes, looking at the altar, listening to the word of God. So it is just by looking at us, it is so impressive and inspirational. And they say all other churches should follow this example. So this kind of worship is broadcast to all of the world, and so many people watch it, so they are changed, then they receive grace. So when they are in the church of God, we have to dress up, and they are changing. Many countries, many churches are changing their behaviors. So you make your appearances as neat as possible. You also have conversations only in the truth in the sanctuary. In 1989, God gave me a word. A very important person will come to your church. And so I looked around, but I couldn't find any. And my mind was going for somebody, but doesn't look like he's a VIP. So after the service is over, I greeted him, and with a member of at that time, the number of members at that time, he was a kind of VIP because he was the writer for the president's speech. He was also our city mayor. And he writes the speeches for the president. And the reason why he didn't look precious, important, because he was wearing just a jumper. And when I thought such a person would come in a suit, or at least with a tie, or at least without a tie, just in a suit, but he was wearing such a casual jacket, and I didn't know he was such a person. So you also have conversations only in the truth in the sanctuary. So you have to have this kind of habit. When you are new believers, it may be difficult, but as you make it a habit, you can have only holy conversations in the church, in the truth. So your heart can also change. In the church, you must not talk about your business, money matters, celebrities of the world, or other worldly pleasure. The same goes for the dining hall and offices, for they are also in the church. And what if you get into a fight, or get angry, or speak evil words in the church? And you'll become a prey of Satan. And if you see such a person, just watch them. They will leave the church, or they will become praise of Satan, because God turns his face away from them. They will become praise of Satan. In case of grown-ups, if you have just a little bit of faith, you would never do such a thing. But I want you parents to be very careful with your children. In the church, and especially in the sanctuaries, you must not let them run around and play. They must never fight with one another or damage church properties. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, 1 Samuel 2:30 later part says, "Those who honor me, I will honor." Those who honor God, God will honor us, honor them. In the old sanctuary, those who talked about these praise songs of God, given by God, they say they love me with their lips, but they don't. They don't love me. They don't honor me. That is why they say such a thing. So Those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. If God thinks we are not honoring Him, what will happen? What if He says we are despising Him? In case of King David, when he committed a sin, what did God say? He says, "You despised me." Does this verse sound fearful, or do you feel thankful for it? If you really repented and turned around, you'd feel thankful. If you honor and revere God, this verse is such a wonderful verse. Even if you didn't know it, even if you didn't know it now, you know, so you have a chance to repent, and such a thing will never happen again, so you'll be thankful. You just honored your loving God, and He will honor you. What a great blessing. It's the same with the church. Do you feel this message is heavy because so many things are prohibited in the church? Rather than feeling burdened, be thankful. This is not something heavy. If you try to earn money in the church, if you try to seek your personal benefit in the church, it's just that you are doing it. It's not laying a heavy burden on you. It's just that you are trying to defile the temple of God. Those people will feel it's heavy. But they are not leading a life in faith. They are not really believers who love God. You are blessed because you can understand God's will and be perfect before Him. God is not giving you such rules to tie you down or lay a burden on you. If you think so, suppose you are born in Israel, then none of you will try to keep the commandments of God. None of you will be able to keep them. If you visit Israel, you can see they keep so many commandments, rules, on the Sabbath day. In case of Orthodox Jews, they don't even ride a car on the Sabbath. It's a work for them. Even in the hotel, they don't make fires. So when those who are on a pilgrimage from other countries, they cannot have hot water. They cannot have any hot food. They have to have only cold food. They don't even operate elevators. It's a work. So they have to walk. They cannot take photos. They cannot make cell phone calls. We had an Israeli person who attended our service recently, and after their Friday online service, because the Sabbath is Saturday, after the Friday online service, he went into the Sabbath. So he walked all the way up to his hotel. It was raining because he couldn't ride a car. And our church member would drive for him, but he couldn't ride a car. So he walked all the way to the hotel. And they keep God's commandments in this way. And I tell you to keep God's law this way, most of you, I think, will leave the church because it's too hard for you. You will say you cannot attend Manmin Church. But if it is the will of God, we have to accept it with amen. And because it's the way for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It is not to rebuke you by revealing what is done in the past. God says He will not rebuke for what was done in the past. And this should come to an end. You had some qualms of conscience, but you didn't know. But anyway, this must stop now. So there must be no more transactions or disgraceful words, no words against God's work or God Himself. It is not, now you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit to some extent, and you can discern the truth with the Word. God is giving you a chance for you to honor God voluntarily and to have a true heart. In this church, our church, very soon we are going to start the construction of Canaan Sanctuary, and we have to cleanse ourselves, we have to purify ourselves quickly. To go into Canaan Sanctuary, we have to fulfill the amount of holiness. We have to become holy, which God wants. But in the Old Testament, after the Exodus, following Moses, they, all of them died, the first generation, died in the wilderness, except Joshua and Caleb, and their descendants, the second generation, under age of 20 and under. They kept the law of God given by Moses. Even from the birth, they kept the law. So, all of them were sanctified, and they crossed the Jordan River, marched around the city of Jericho, and the Jericho fell just by marching and shouting. And when just a little bit of sin was committed, they failed to conquer Ai, the city of Ai. At that time, God wanted everybody to become sanctified. But today, God cannot want that because we were not raised by the law of God. And also we have all the time, constantly, new believers, newcomers who don't know God. God doesn't want 100% sanctification. It's better, but it's impossible today. So what God wants is our pastors, Levites, they have to be sanctified. They have to cast off all forms of evil and become sanctified. And those who are anointed, the elders, and pastors and Levites, they must be sanctified. And God is waiting until that time. He, with great desire for that to happen. Well, God can do everything. He can do everything anytime, but He's just waiting because it's the justice to go into the holy Canaan Sanctuary. It is the land of blessing for us. He will bless us so much so we can even build the grand sanctuary. So there mustn't be any unrighteousness among pastors and Levites, full-time workers. So how can God bless us then? How can God let us start the construction? So even now, it's not too late, and we have to change quickly. So when we also select pastors and hire Levites, for pastors, we have a training course, but for Levites, full-time workers, there must be thorough examination. When they select a minister for the country, for the government, maybe even the head of the prosecutors or the head of the tax office, tax department, when they appoint these people, the Congress will have a hearing and they'll have questions whether they did anything wrong, anything illegal. They have to approve them. If they are not approved, they will fail. Even in the world, they will do it. But even for the and for this kingdom of God, for the church, if they have unrighteousness, it's not acceptable. So when you select, when you hire Levites, you first have to see the faith, whether they love God, whether they are living by the word of God. Otherwise, we'll just print an ad on the newspaper, newsletters, and hire graduates from the best colleges. Today, there are so many unemployment. College graduates, they are even applying for cleaners, city cleaners. And so those who are working for the church, they have to be holy. They must not commit any sins. Now you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit to some extent, and you can discern the truth with a word. God is giving you a chance for you to honor God voluntarily and to have a true heart. For example, if you have a house that is totally destroyed and stained by oil, you wouldn't consider repairing it or cleaning it. But if the house is preserved to some extent, you can easily clean it and decorate it just by doing minor repair and cleaning. If you do not long for sanctification, if you do not run towards New Jerusalem, I don't even have to give this kind of a sermon. If you you can just do as you like, you can just act as you like, and when you are judged by God, most of you will be chaff, and many of you will fall into hell. Even there will be so many more people in hell. But you long for sanctification. You long, you cast off things, many things, to run towards New Jerusalem. That is why I can give you this kind of sermon. It would be more comfortable for me too. Not to give this kind of sermon. I can just say, receive blessing, be rich. All of you, be rich and receive blessing. I can say this anytime, all the time. I can pray for 1,000 times, 10,000 times more blessings. There are many other pastors who are praying for 10,000 times of blessings. And they can say whatever is in the Bible, 30, 60, 100 times, or pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And when they say 10,000 times more, they say amen. They say amen. You can say anything. If I just say anything, if I want to say anything, I can just say, oh, you can have $10,000, $100,000 income every month. Then you will say amen, amen. But that is a lie. It's not right according to the justice of God. It cannot be true. It cannot be answered. I wouldn't have to tell you to become sanctified and perfect in such specific aspects if you are stained with sins completely. And if your house is totally messed up, you wouldn't even think about repairing it or cleaning it. If every part of the house is totally corrupted and messed, but if you live in a new house, you will try to clean it every time. If you have any stain, you will clean it every time. If you have any spot, you will clean it every time, right away. But you are different. God wants you who are longing for New Jerusalem to be blameless and spotless. He earnestly wants you to be eligible to receive blessings, having no grounds for any accusation. I want you to realize the depth of His love. I urge you to engrave the holiness of God in your heart, honor Him, and become spotless children. I pray in the name of the Lord that God may be pleased with you so much that He will lift you to the highest positions. Now, I think you can have discernment. So you don't have to ask questions. So is it okay to do the hair cutting and styling and makeups? If it's for God, if it's voluntary service for the glory of God, it's okay, but there must be any exchange of money in the church. And especially on the Sabbath, there mustn't be any giving or receiving money, or not even in the church, there shouldn't be any receiving or giving money in the church. Let us pray all together. If you have done anything, if you had any business transactions, those who didn't know, really, then just confess it before God. If you had qualms of conscience too, then you have to repent. And if you knew it and did it, then it's greater. And those who knew but didn't report it to the church, their sin is great too. But from today, God wants to forgive all of you. So that is why I delivered this message, and you will receive forgiveness with your prayer of repentance, and this church will not have any wall of sin against God because of these things. So it'll be a church so lovable in His sight. And you will be such lovely children just by seeing the sanctuary. God must be so pleased. So let us pray together, and this kind of thing must never happen again. With this kind of attitude, let us pray together.
우리 주 예수 그리스도의 이름으로 기도합니다. 아멘.